Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Alex Bemis, who has more hyphens than anyone I've ever met. So I'm going to leave the description of himself to himself. A cool fact, though, he actually plays in This Wildlife, which has had some of the better tours in the scene, and they get a lot of comparisons to, you know, Dashboard Confessional or a lot of acoustic-based music, and they're all over the map, and when they have a full band, he accompanies them, and I've seen some pictures of him with koalas, so I want to go to Australia and take a picture with a koala and also try to stalk Silverchair. So currently, this is the first episode I'm recording after Thanksgiving, but I believe this episode will be airing in January. So it's been a really good year for Walden's Words. The first full year of the show from start to finish. We started the show just after I got married in 2016. So in September, a few weeks after I got married, we started the show, and it's been really, really solid, I'd say. Year and like almost a third, something like that. But this full year, we've had incredible guests on the show, and I can't believe that we're approaching around 60 episodes. Every single Tuesday night, 5 o'clock West Coast time, 8 o'clock on the East Coast, a new episode airs, and that episode is actually rerun every single Sunday morning at 5 a.m. on the West Coast and 8 a.m. on the East Coast. So if you're a night owl or if you're an early riser, you could check it out. It's pretty amazing that all of you people have this at your fingertip. You know, you could just go on and you can hear some incredible shows like on Fishkin, and you can listen to this year's show. So I know that this is an extra sappy intro, but I just want to give special shout outs to some of the people at Adobe that make this possible. Tom Chaney is the head of Adobe, so much love to that guy. Eddie Barella is the program director, so much love to that guy. Dan Brink always helps me whenever I'm in a jam here, so much love to that guy. And Mike Fishkin, much love to that guy and John Fishkin. So stick around for this interview with Alex Bemis on Waldman's Words, and have a freaking awesome evening. Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Mr. Alex Bemis, who is in the studio right now and marveling at the sick year in here.
Yeah, this place is pretty sick. It's a lot nicer than I was expecting.
I don't know. Whenever people
actually,
say that...
I didn't know what to expect, actually, because I've never done a podcast before, so...
When people say that to me, I love it, because it's a combination of an insult and a compliment. It's like, you know, I thought it was going to be a shithole, but it's kind of like when you invite a girl to your place, and she's like, oh, wow. It's a lot cleaner than I thought it'd be, you dirtball.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Awesome. So we're off to a really good start. I actually, this is the second time in person I've seen you, but yeah, we've been MySpace friends for quite some time. That's so this true. Is a very big step. How was that Indian meal, buddy?
The Indian meal was awesome, and I'm actually looking forward to go back soon. You know what's funny is I don't have Indian food very often, so when I went with you, it just reminded me how awesome it was. So ever since then, I've been trying to make the effort to go have some more Indian food, so hopefully we could do that again sometime.
I would love to call my people and we'll organize something. The great thing about Indian buffet is that it sticks with you for quite some time, and it was like about $10 for a meal that could last for years. So again, Alex and I have known each other since the MySpace days, but not really. We've been Facebook friends for a minute, and I would love to hear about your illustrious career, but starting out, what got you into music? Because I know you started, and you still do, but you do so many different things. You're an auteur. When did you start playing, or when did you start loving it?
Well, I started playing music when I was in first grade. Played music all through school growing up. Played piano, guitar, bass. Tried to pick up anything I could. And I really discovered my love for rock music and wanting to work in the music industry when I was in high school. Started playing in local bands.
Where were you doing that?
I grew up in Palos Verdes, California.
A very poor community.
if anyone's listening and doesn't know where Palos Verdes is, it's in the South Bay, kind of by Redondo Beach. Mm-hmm. Not too many people in LA know about it unless you're from...
PV, baby.
Yeah, so there you go. So grew up in Palos Verdes, played in high school bands. There was pretty much no music scene where I grew up, so I was the only kid at my high school that played music or played rock music or listened to pop punk, or maybe a handful of kids went to Warped Tour. But
that's surprising, because like the South Bay, it's like where Black Flag, Descendants, and I believe Pennywise and all that are from that area.
That's true, those bands are from there, but my high school is very academic, so a lot of kids, you know, they played classical instruments and were in like jazz band and stuff like that. No one's parents.
So the talented kids.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, I couldn't really keep up with those kids, so I picked up guitar and played Blink-182 songs.
I mean, that's the gateway drug for me. It was Green Day, Weezer, Nirvana, but I still love that stuff. So you were playing that stuff growing up, and where I grew up on Long Island, as soon as I left, that's when like Brand New, Taking Back Sunday, Glassjaw, and Movie Life took off. So did you start to cultivate a scene in that area, or did you just like get out of it?
There is a scene in the South. There was a scene in the South Bay at the time I was in high school. Let Live was playing shows. The Ghost Inside.
San Pedro, right?
Yeah, Ghost Inside was from the area. There are a few other bands. As Blood Runs Black was from kind of like the area.
Sounds very mild, that band. They sound like they really write very happy songs.
Oh, yeah. There was some bands in Long Beach, like The Messenger, and some members of The Messenger, Kevin Jordan, went on to be in This Wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a small scene, but not where I grew up directly, so I had to network with kids in other parts of Southern California. Ended up playing
shows.
How'd
you do that? How would you
MySpace.
Network? Okay.
Yeah, so just reaching out to any kid that I could find on MySpace who had pretty much a scene haircut and started...
The swooped hair.
Yeah, try to befriend kids who listened to, you know, like A Day to Remember and Devil Wears Prada and just like Boys Like Girls or just like any other...
Boys Night Out.
Or like The Main or any other popular pop rock metalcore.
So this was in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, this was 2006 to 2010. I was in high school.
And how did Dan Brink become obsessed with you?
Okay, so...
Adobe!
Dan Brink, that's actually really funny that he lives out here now. I don't remember how we met or became friends on MySpace, but I'm pretty sure it was because of my high school band. Somehow he found out about us, and I think it was because when I was in high school, my friends and I would... We'd go to bigger bands' MySpace pages and, like, add all their friends or spam, like, a link to our MySpace page.
Say Drive did that all the time.
Yeah. So the classic guerrilla marketing of the MySpace days.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess somehow Dan followed us or added us or listened to our music somehow.
Or you added him.
Or I added him. Something happened where he kind of became my friend online, and him and I talked about music. And it's crazy to hear that he's out here in LA now.
He's out here, and usually you open that door, he's on the computer editing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I met him out here, too.
And it just goes to show how really small this music scene is.
Yeah, don't burn bridges, kids.
Yeah, totally.
So I guess the days are different now. It was a lot easier being a band online then, because on MySpace you would just add people. But now there's Facebook, and there's ads, and there's a little bit...
That was the Wild West of social media.
The wild life of it. Yeah. Well, the Wild West was, back in the day, you would get phone books for booking tours.
Yeah.
And you would call venues, and people would actually use the phone for things other than texting.
I can't even imagine doing that.
I didn't do MySpace on a phone, though. I don't remember doing it on, like, a smartphone, or maybe T-Mobile Sidekick or something.
Yeah, I remember when I was in high school, there was, like, one kid who had a T-Mobile Sidekick in class, and she was like on MySpace, and everyone was like,
Whoa.
I can't believe you're online. Like, no one's even online because everyone's at school. No one has a sidekick anyway, so.
Some badass stuff. I had a BlackBerry, and I was actually in a tour van doing shows. But, yeah, I never did that. So talk to me about, I guess, high school. Was that when you really came to your own with playing?
Yeah, high school, started my own band, wanted to play as many shows as possible, played everywhere I could play as a – underage kid.
Chain Reaction.
In the South Bay. Played lots of shows at Chain Reaction. Played at this place called the Green Turtle Cafe in Whittier. And a lot of bands from SoCal know that place if you were playing shows from 2006 to 2010.
Whittier's a weird little area.
Yeah, well, this place called the Green Turtle Cafe of Mice and Men played their first show there. And it was actually like a Chinese restaurant. And they had a banquet hall in the back of the venue, at the back of the restaurant, where they'd have like hardcore bands play.
Does it still exist?
No, it doesn't exist.
Because there's a main drag in Whittier. I have a band that I manage that lives in Orange County called Film Speed, and the label is called Awfully Good Records, and he was a Whittier college student. So there's this one long drag, and there was kind of like a punk rock store.
Uh-huh.
Is there like a little punk rock community there? Or like,
you know what? When I was a kid, we just would play any shows that we could. So I don't. like my dad would drive me to the shows, so,
that's so cute.
I didn't even like look around to see what was around the venue. I just remember showing up to this really strange Chinese restaurant and playing shows in the back.
Did you eat at the restaurant?
No.
Okay.
Just playing shows. I think I got my first like black eye from hardcore dancing there too. But
well, fuck that guy.
Those were the good days. But
and this was in high school. So what was the name of this group?
Oh, the band that my high school pop punk band was called A Seasonal Effect. But
it's a good pop punk name.
Classic, just 16-year-old like angsty, really terrible. Listening back at it, but it was
cringy.
Yeah, very cringy, but.
What'd you do in the band?
Time. I was the lead singer and the guitar player.
Did your voice change at that time, or were you struggling with that as well?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just trying to
I'm still going through
figure
puberty,
it out.
So.
I just wanted to play shows more than anything, and continued doing that and up until now, I guess.
Well, so that was about maybe 10 years ago or maybe even more. So when...
Close to that, yeah.
When did you shift into, I guess, doing stuff on the behind the scenes end? Like, okay. I want to hear this in as sequential order as possible.
Okay, so after high school, my high school band broke up. Everyone wanted to go to college. And at that time...
Fuck ambition, dude.
I know, right? Yeah, no one's parents wanted to let their kids sleep in vans and go on tour. So.
You mean in PV?
I know, right? Yeah. I was kind of stuck on my own, so wasn't really too interested in being like a solo artist and doing that kind of thing because I like the camaraderie of being in a band, and it's really hard finding people to work with, so I figured, you know, like I might be done being in a band, might as well try to work behind the scenes because I just loved the independent music space so much. And at the time, I loved Fearless Records and Rise Records and Epitaph and mm-hmm. Hopeless and all like the quote scene labels, and I was so obsessed with all
like
the
FBR and all that stuff.
Yeah, Philbaram and everything like that. I would read alternative press cover to cover, and I just wanted more than anything than to work in the music industry and the independent music space. So went to college for a couple years.
What school?
Loyola. I went to Marymount College in Palos Verdes, and at the time just really tried to get internships at labels or anything like that. And I think at one point I sent my resume and applied to almost every label in Los Angeles that I could hunt down on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And the only label I heard back was from Vagrant Records.
Oh, yeah.
So that was my first internship ever in college, was at Vagrant Records.
Alkaline Trio, yeah. Dashboard Confessional. Yeah.
In the mailroom. So I got that was a really cool experience for me in college.
Was it through Interscope at the time, or was it solo?
It was just independent Vagrant. And I learned
pre-hipster Vagrant, right?
It was pretty hipster at the time.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, there were some pretty hipster acts on the roster. I kind of forgot who was active at the time I was there. But
like Bad Sons, I know of that.
Yeah, Bad Sons. When I worked there was right when the 1975 got signed.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I
they
remember
got pretty big.
Being in the mailroom, and somebody at the label sent me an email being like, hey, check out this this new band we signed called the 1975. And my assignment for the day was to watch their music video over and over and over again on YouTube so that they could get the play count up.
Oh, wow.
So I think this was for the song Sex off of their first EP, if I remember correctly. But it was really funny. Just now they're such a massive
They don't
band.
Need your help anymore.
I know, absolutely not.
They sold out Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that band's massive.
I can't believe how big they got. And
yeah, in such a small amount of time.
In a very small amount of time. Yeah. And I've been talking about this with a few other people. I mean, Neck Deep really hasn't even been around that long. And
yeah.
they took... And A Day to Remember, they were trudging for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what did you do in the mailroom at Vagrant? I mean, that's a really good start.
Yeah, just sending out CDs, press kits.
CDs? What are those?
I know, right? Yeah, the coolest part about the job was I got free CDs. So,
swag.
Yeah, but just sending out CDs, sending out like press kits to radio stations, stuff like that. Just sending out CDs to bands on tour that are on the label roster.
Like consignment stuff.
Yeah, stuff like that. And I also was a little bit of a publicity intern, so I kind of go online and every day, and whatever bands were on tour that were on the roster, I try to get press reviews and kind of document that and try to get quotes and just little stuff, little entry level.
But the stuff that stuff. Makes it.
I'm... Yeah, and I was really, really eager and excited at the time. And I worked there for 6 months in college. After that internship, I jumped over to Fearless Records.
Mm-hmm. And when they were in Orange County, right?
Yes, when they were in Huntington Beach.
We just had Chris Voitel on the show,
oh, cool.
Who's now at Epitaph. But yeah, he was saying, are there? Yeah.
Yeah, when I worked there, I didn't know him. because the office was split into two parts, mm-hmm. and he was on the other side of the hallway.
The A&R hall.
Yeah, the fancy
oh, yeah. office. I never got to, it was in, like, Westminster, right?
Yeah, it was, like, Sunset Beach, I think, is what it was technically called.
Not a bad location.
I know, that you could actually walk to the beach from the office, so.
That's pretty great.
Kind of missed that, but when I was there, I was the sales intern,
mm-hmm.
so I kind of helped.
While you were in school still?
Yeah, I was still in college, so after school, I'd drive all the way to Huntington Beach from Loyola Marymount University, which is up by LAX.
Yeah,
it's a long drive.
It's a hike.
A couple, like, 2 or 3 days a week, but it was worth it. Put together, like, pre-order packages for bands and got to be on a few music video sets. And
what bands at the time were you working?
Somerset, Chunk No Captain Chunk.
Oh, yeah, the French A Day to Remember.
Yeah, and Ferb the Sickest Kids put out a record when I was there.
Which was an underrated album, Jack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it did too well, but I remember that was pretty catchy. That was around the time of the Rolex.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when I was working there, I got to do a couple music videos, be an extra in a couple music videos.
Which ones?
And the Somerset, Boomerang,
mm-hmm.
and...
That's their big song.
One other music video I forgot, but yeah, it was a fun time working at Fearless. And then from Fearless, right after Fearless, I started interning for Yvonge mm-hmm. at Synergy Artist Management.
Yeah.
I think I was one of her first interns, I think, when she moved to LA from New York.
Oh, she used to live in New York? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I started working at her Hollywood office.
Was Real Friends on the roster?
Yeah, Real Friends was on the roster.
Who's on Fearless?
Yep.
They
signed to Fearless after I was done there.
Okay.
But when I was working for Yvonge as her intern, we had Daylight, Make Do and Mend, mm-hmm. Citizen, Real Friends, Braid.
Right.
And this was during, like, the very early stages of Citizen and Real Friends. And worked for her for about 6 months until I graduated college. And when I graduated college, about 2 weeks later, I went on my first Warped Tour.
Went on as in working it?
Yeah, working on Warped Tour, selling merchandise for This Wildlife.
Oh, cool. Okay, so I guess some of the advice that you would give for someone who wants to do anything that you do is no job is too small.
Yeah.
And you have to really, really show that you're willing to work for free to
absolutely
earn your stripes.
Yeah. And
that's a big moral to show.
Another thing that I didn't mention was the whole time I was doing these internships, I was playing in This Wildlife when they were a local band, before they got signed to Epitaph.
But when they did Warped, it was just two of them doing acoustic. It wasn't a full band.
When they did Warped, was their first... they were touring off of their first record on Epitaph.
So, Clouded, right?
Yeah, off of Clouded, yeah. So they did Warped Tour, I think, a month after that record came out. So during college and during all my internships, I was playing in This Wildlife. I was playing bass for them when they were a local band, when they were a local pop-punk band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they sound a lot different. I've listened to their older stuff.
Yeah, so...
The voice is still there, but yeah.
Yeah. And then they decided to go in the acoustic route, and that's when I finished up school, finished up my internships. And when they did their first Warped Tour, they asked me to go on the tour with them and sell merch. And that was crazy, obviously.
And that was just after the record came out.
That was right when, about a month after the record came
out. So they had to earn fans, too.
Yeah,
I saw them flyering, I remember.
Yeah, and that was also my first national tour ever.
That's quite an intro to the road.
Yeah, it was rock and roll boot camp.
Were they sharing a bus with someone?
Yeah, we shared a bus with the band Secrets.
Oh, okay. I think they lost a singer, but they were really heavy, right?
Yeah, they're a heavy band. They're still going at it. They're really cool. Yeah, we shared a bus, so it was pretty cool. My first
national
tour was in a tour bus.
Wow.
Sleeping in a bunk, doing Warped Tour.
I've done lots of tours, including Warped. I've never done it on a bus.
Yeah.
So it's a different world, different planet.
And I've been touring for, this is my fourth year. I've been touring a bunch and haven't done a bus tour since.
I mean, so you start high and then you fall down.
Yeah, but it was cool.
I mean, that's a good intro, and I believe they did Warp the following year as well,
I did,
right?
Warp with them the next year as well.
In a van, did they do it?
We did it on a bandwagon.
Okay, that's the new industry norm right now, right?
Yeah, the bandwagon is awesome. I love bandwagons.
And it was probably their own one, right?
Yes.
That's awesome.
And my Warp tour for the first time was my intro to touring, and I totally fell in love with it. Fell in love with being on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of forced a career switch in my head, because all through college I thought, oh, I'm just gonna be an industry guy, gonna work at a desk,
mm-hmm.
gonna have an office job. And then going on Warped Tour kind of changed that dream a bit.
Shifted your priorities.
Definitely shifted the priority and made me realize, whoa, like, I guess I could work on the road for a bit. I was 21 at the time, and sounded very exciting, you know, to travel, be on the road with your friends. And
it's pretty fun, man. It's this nomadic, crazy lifestyle. Well,
did
you end up graduating school?
I did graduate college, yeah.
High five.
Yeah, thank you.
Boom.
High five across the table.
Yeah, this is what happens when you're old.
Yeah, most, it's funny, when I graduated college, most kids, like, were talking about, yeah, I got this job lined up for next month, I'm going on this kind of vacation to celebrate graduating college, and I was like, oh, well, going on tour in 10 days, so.
When I graduated college, everyone was like, oh, I'm going to work at this law firm, or I'm going to go to law school, or most of them legal, and I'm like, I'm moving to LA to pursue music.
Yeah. And I'm sure that was crazy for people back home.
You mean like a Long Island Jewish mother?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you think that she was stoked. Yeah, I mean, people just didn't believe it. And this was, this is when Friendster was about to come out. So social media was completely different then. So my band, The Stage Drive, we ended up signing with Columbia. And no one believed me because I had just moved to LA like a year and change ago. I'm like, you just wait. And then it was in stores. And it still doesn't make sense to people. And now I've got this show and I'm talking to Alex. So it's pretty wild. So, Mom, I made it. My English degree is coming, you know, in handy when I'm here. So we're going to take a short break in a little bit. But I guess, were there any bands on that Warped Tour, or either one of those Warped Tours, that you didn't really know about, and then by the end of the tour you became a super fan?
Not really, to be honest. I mean, I've been so...
Immersed
and so deep in the scene for so long that I knew every band on the tour for the most part, as far as I can remember.
Or maybe that you became like friends with that you might not have expected, because
I didn't know Secrets. I mean, I heard the music before, but I didn't know them.
They're in Rise, right?
Yeah, they're a Rise band, and they became really good friends of mine on that tour, sharing a bus with them for 2 months.
To know them, don't you?
Yeah, those guys are really cool. They're still really good friends of mine.
That's pretty sweet. Well, we're gonna take a short break with Alex, and I guess he's going to discuss with the tens of millions of people listening right now, I guess, why and how he's able to, because obviously This Wildlife is not like a major household name where that's the majority of your income. You have to do other things, and you have to do things when you're on the road as well. You're probably, you need Wi-Fi, don't you?
Yeah.
So we're going to get into that and talk about how he's hyphenated, just like I said in the intro. So if I want to do a one-word adjective to describe this segment, I will say badass.
Cool.
Do you have one? Is cool yours, or is...
Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Let's leave it at cool. So we're going to take a short break. Stick around for Waldman's Words with Mr. Alexander Bemis. I just took a selfie. You're in the air, by the way. I just took a selfie. Yeah. This is pretty sweet. Technology's fucking scary. Anyway, so... tell me about, I guess, what shifted you into the dark side
of touring.
Is a black hole, but like when you were doing This Wildlife on the first Warped Tour, were you doing other things, or were you just pretty much doing like kind of merch TMing type deal?
Okay, so on my first Warped Tour with This Wildlife, I only sold merchandise. So that was my first time selling merch ever, and my first time on tour, so lots of learning there.
I can only imagine.
And it was really difficult, but I wouldn't trade that experience for anything in the world. And when I got home from that tour, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get another tour afterwards.
You burnt so many bridges and killed so many
people.
Well,
because that was my resume was very small at that time, you know, just Warped Tour, sold merch for a small band at the time. So I wasn't sure, and I wasn't even sure how to go about getting another tour. But at the time, I was friends with a band called Sea Haven, friends with those guys, and they lost their guitarist right when I got home from Warped Tour, and they asked me to play guitar for them.
Because you showed them that you can play.
Yeah.
You got the skills to pay the bills.
Yep, so...
By the way, you're famous. You're on social media now. It's crazy.
Oh, boy.
I know, man. You might get one or two new likes.
Gonna have to make sure my profile is public right now.
Oh, yeah.
Just get all those followers.
It's crazy. Like you're gonna see like this shift from like maybe 4 to 5 fans. Well, it's gonna be amazing.
Maybe I'll get verified now.
Oh my god! I heard Twitter crack down on that.
Really?
Yeah, because it's just like a lot of people were. Anyway, I digress. So Sea Haven. So you decided.
So I played with Sea Haven for a couple years.
Oh really? So was that your full time gig?
Well, the band didn't tour that much. We did maybe 2 tours a year. We did a full U.S.
support
tour.
Tours?
Yeah, support tours. I did a tour We were direct support for Balancing Composure on a full U.S. tour. We did a Europe and U.K. tour with Balancing Composure.
So they like those guys.
Yeah, those guys are really cool. Love that band. And we also did a tour with Lydia and Turnover. So those were the three tours I did with Sea Haven. And it, during that time...
You're in the cool scene.
Yeah, I know, right?
What's that like?
Very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Cool kid. All the cool kids like Turnover. Kids.
That was before Turnover blew up, but I love those guys. So yeah, I was playing in Sea Haven for a bit, delivering pizzas when I was home. Kind of realized
I'm just checking the socials to see how you're blowing up. Keep going.
Man, how's the interaction looking?
Well, let me tell you something. Oh my god, you look great. All right, keep going.
Love it.
Like amazing. Keep going. Sea Haven. Yes. Floors.
Sleeping on floors, playing some shows. Then I decided, you know, I gotta start putting my knowledge to use, and decided to start doing some photography stuff. Decided to do graphic design.
Did you have
try to explore.
Did you have a familiarity with that before?
Not really. No. Well, it all started with doing social media management for some bands. I told you before I was interning for Avange when I was in college, and when I got home from a tour, she gave me the opportunity to do social media management for her roster.
That's great.
So that was my first, I guess, paid industry job in an office setting.
Mm-hmm.
So I did some social media management for
what does that mean?
Bands. Just doing some posts for bands when they're on tour, doing some tour marketing stuff.
You mean it's not them writing the posts?
I know, right?
What?
Well, I mean, it's not, obviously.
This is like Wizard of Oz type shit, dude. No, I understand. Yeah. You have to keep their voice.
Yeah, definitely.
What's up, homies?
Yeah. Yeah, I know the bands talk like that.
You know that meme with, like, I think it's the old lady. She's like, oh, what are the kids like? Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. But, yeah, so started off doing social media management stuff. And then from there, I got hired by Equal Vision Records to do graphic design for their roster.
Mm-hmm.
And I never went to school for graphic design or anything like that.
What's your degree in?
Communications.
So you could speak.
Yeah.
My degree's in English, so I could speak, too.
You can write and read.
One of those things.
So,
write or read. I can't do both at the same time.
Yeah, so I started doing graphic design, and at the time I wasn't really much of a graphic designer.
You didn't know Salvador Dali?
Growing up in a DIY band, you kind of learn how to do Photoshop and making flyers and stuff on your own to cut corners.
Literally cutting corners.
Yeah, so started doing a lot of graphic design, freelance work, and to this day I still work for Equal Vision. And I have a few other clients that I have that I do graphic
design. You don't work at their office,
though,
right?
No, I don't. I work from home and from the road.
That's a good gig.
It's pretty cool. It allows me to go on tour and travel the world, which I'm very lucky to do at this time.
You are very lucky. How old are you?
26.
Oh, my God. You're a baby.
Just turned 26. But, over the past year, I've been really getting into photography a lot since I've been touring internationally.
Mm-hmm.
Been really big on documentation. And
like koalas.
Yes, like koalas and kangaroos.
Yeah, I talked about you and a koala in the beginning and how I'm very envious of...
That's actually one of my favorite photos I've ever had taken of myself.
I mean, you look like just like a happy little boy
it's
holding a koala.
The funniest picture.
Are they peaceful animals?
Koalas smell so bad.
Like poop bad or
smell,
just
like
bad
imagine
breath?
Imagine having a dog and never giving it a bath for its entire life.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, that's what a koala smells like.
I don't want to hold a koala, but I probably do.
It's worth
do.
It for the picture.
The picture?
But it's interesting. But
interesting is a word I use to describe an ugly painting. So.
Oh, yeah. If someone asks you your opinion on something you don't like, just say interesting.
Yeah, or sure.
Sure.
Oh my god, those are like the worst words ever. And I actually, well, by the time this comes out, it's not going to be, I guess, very relevant anymore. But a conversation in your 30s is, hey, what's up? Good. What do you mean good?
I saw you tweet that.
Yeah, it's just like,
I gotta ask, where did that conversation happen?
It happened at the eyeglasses store when I went to pick up glasses. I was like, hey, what's up? Good.
Well, I'm not even 30 and I've had that same conversation before, so.
But it was probably on the phone, like with your thumbs, like you kids today, like, oh my God, don't even get me started on it. So Equal Vision, tell me about the ins and outs of working there, because I first heard of Equal Vision when I was in high school by this record, Through Being Cool Saves the Day.
Nice.
So that was my shit.
Very cool.
It was Through Being.
I love Equal Vision. The team is amazing. They treat me really well. I'm very lucky to be able to work remotely. And I do.
Yes, you are.
Graphic design for most of the roster. Most of the stuff is social media based, so making sure they got fresh headers on their Facebook,
updated
Twitter, making sure just graphics to promote releases, promote tours, promote singles, promote music videos.
What do they have in their horizon right now that's exciting for you?
Well,
I know new water parks.
Yeah, new water parks is coming out next year. So,
have you heard it?
I've heard a few songs.
I heard the single. I can't, that band came out of nowhere.
Yeah, Water Parks is so cool. They have a lot of hype right now. Worked on a lot of stuff for their new, for the record coming out in January.
Nothing Nowhere is Equal Vision too, right?
Nothing Nowhere. It's part
Decadence Equal Vision, or whatever.
Part Decadence. Kind of confusing, but Nothing Nowhere new release is really cool. I'm really into the band Sleep On It.
Mm-hmm.
They just put out a record on Equal Vision.
They were on the Water Parks tour, so yeah.
Yeah, have you heard them before?
Yeah, they're just a really good pop punk band.
I've been listening to their record almost every day. They're my favorite pop punk band right now.
They're doing really well. I mean, them and Grayscale and that whole family of bands.
Definitely. So Sleep On It, New Hail, the Sun EP just came out.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Let me think, what else?
I just had Hail the Sun's manager on our show, Will Stevenson.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah. I know Will. Will used to be this Wildlife's manager.
That's right.
Yeah, so I know
we talked about that a little bit, but yeah, Hail the Sun is, I mean, I think they just did the tour with Eye the Mighty, who's on there, and they just released a record, too.
They did that record.
This is like
really
such an incestuous conversation. It's crazy.
So funny. But yeah, lots of cool stuff going on over at Equal Vision. Some cool new stuff coming up next year. And that's really cool. And
This Wildlife, I assume that they either finished their newest record or they're cutting it as we speak.
Right now, This Wildlife is up in Washington, in Seattle, and they are recording with Ryan Hadlock.
That name sounds familiar.
I'm not too familiar with his work, but, you know, the guys love him. I'm not involved with any of the
creative... It's just the two of them, right?
Yeah, Kevin and Anthony. Yeah, I'm not involved with the creative process. I just play with them live.
You're the live dude.
The live guy, the jack of all trades.
So you
master of none.
Master of well, you're
master
a hyphen.
Of some.
Master of some,
yeah.
Or semi-master of a few.
Yeah.
So you on what instruments do you play on the road there, and like how many things do you do? I feel like do you do backup vocals?
Yeah.
Do you, and you do bass? Do you do keys or guitar? Like what? Did I get them
okay.
all?
No, yeah, you nailed it. So for This Wildlife,
nailed it. I did research.
I play bass for them live. I play guitar on a couple songs. I play percussion and keyboard/piano.
Okay, and they're 4-piece live or
3-piece live? And
the
we
three.
We all kind of hop around on different instruments.
What about? Do they actually have a real kit or no? They don't.
Yeah, the real drum set on stage.
So wait, you're...
And Anthony, who plays guitar, he on a few songs he'll hop behind the drum kit, and I'll play electric guitar.
Oh wow!
And he'll play drums.
Only saw them when it was just too acoustic, so I haven't seen.
Yeah.
I never saw them with you. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, a lot of stuff has been added production wise. Or halfway through a song, Anthony will give our tech his acoustic and he'll hop behind the kit for like the outro of a song.
That must be fun.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You must get tired.
Surprisingly not.
Wow.
Well, it's mellow acoustic music, so.
I know,
not
but
running,
just moving
not
a lot.
Not a whole lot of running around.
You mean you're not stage diving?
No stage diving, no jumping around, no posse jumps.
Oh god, like the set it up, not set up, set your goals.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
For your, do you guys have touring plans for next year and all that stuff?
Yes.
But you can't discuss
it. Yeah, I can't talk about it yet. But there is some really cool stuff coming on next year for This Wildlife. And I'm excited to join them with that. And they have a new record coming out next year.
That's dope, man.
I have no idea when, but...
They probably don't even know either.
Yeah, probably this spring. So I've heard almost the whole record. The songs are really cool.
They're Fly South now, right?
Yeah.
For management?
Yeah.
Does that happen with... Like, so... Talk to me about being a hired gun. So what's that like? Does the band pay you personally or does someone else?
Yeah, the band pays me.
In advance?
I'm an employee of them.
Okay.
So I'm an employee of the LLC and I get paid just like a weekly paycheck like any other employee of a company.
Mm-hmm.
But
you don't pay for gas, you don't pay for merch.
No, all my expenses are pretty much covered for the most part. On tour.
Unless you want to get, like, a filet mignon.
Yeah, unless I want to buy some fancy dinner, which pretty much never happens.
Yeah, who has the time or money? But sometimes you get taken out.
What is funny is with This Wildlife, they're the only band that I've ever toured with where we actually go out to, like, pretty nice dinners for... Not, I mean, they're nice for a working band's
like
salary.
Outback?
Like, we'll go to Red Lobster for
Ooh.
No reason. And Red Lobster's pretty expensive for the quality. I mean, it's...
But the biscuits
it's not
are amazing.
Yeah. We go to Olive Garden a lot, And I think Algren kind of sucks, but...
Dude, I'm from New York, and, like, just how Mexican food is currency for you guys out here.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't go to Olive Garden.
It's funny.
No offense. I mean, if you're in Boise, it makes sense.
Or we go to Buffalo Wild Wings a lot. We just go to a lot of places that most mid-level touring bands don't eat at.
So it's instead of Arby's and Taco Bell.
Yeah, instead of the cheap stuff, you'll find us splurging and going to the movies and going to Red Lobster on and off.
So the lower tier chain restaurants. You go to the sit-down chains.
We go to them as kind of as a joke, but not really. Like, it was really funny on this last U.S. tour we did. We were all talking about how we've never been to Red Lobster before. And we just saw one on the highway. We were in Georgia, like, right outside of Atlanta. And we were like, let's just go there for dinner. And, like, I'm usually pretty frugal on the road because I want to save my money. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to look at, you know, like, what's under $15 on the menu. But everyone else is like, we got to go for the whatever it's called, like the
surf and turf.
The captain something special where it's like $35 and you get like the lobster.
Bottomless shrimp.
Yeah, just like all the works. And it's just super tacky, but.
I mean, Red Lobster's not bad. I actually really like Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake Factory's very good. That is a place that we have gone to a few times on tour.
I bet.
I know a lot of bands probably don't go to.
No, bands are normally lower level. I was in a band with a dude who had really refined taste, and that's a really nice way of putting it. And I'm going to cut it out there. So we have a few minutes left, so I guess what's a typical day in your life?
Typical day in my life.
Besides Waldman's words, shout-outs and listens.
Lately I've been doing a lot of photo work, so I've been hired by a few bands to go into the studio when they're in LA to shoot their recording session and create some social media content around that. My typical week, usually have one or two photo shoots, making social media graphics for a handful of bands.
Like, are you allowed to disclose who you work for? Or is that a private thing?
I don't know. So
okay, then never
maybe
mind.
I won't go.
We'll James Bond this shit. He actually did everything for the Chainsmokers and Halsey. He's the reason why.
Well, last week I was in the studio with this really awesome group called Lark and Poe.
Okay.
They're a two-piece sisters from Nashville.
You like to be with the toothpieces. That's
tooth
a Freudian
pieces.
Slip. The two-pieces.
They're really cool. You should check them out if you've never heard Lark and Poe. Then a couple weeks ago...
I'll be in Nashville on Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better have some barbecue.
Dude, I heard a rumor that it's... I haven't been to Nashville since 2006, so I'm going to eat like a fat kid and the hot chicken.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm really excited. I hate the word foodie, but I'm a food...
You're a food person.
I'm a food guy.
A food guy.
As you can tell by my dad bod. My ripped dad bod.
Oh, I know how that is.
Especially when you're touring. It goes two ways. You can get morbidly obese, or you can get, like, stick thin. There's...
Pretty much everyone I know loses weight on tour, except for me. I'm always the dude that gains weight on tour.
I mean, that takes effort.
I know, right? You would think, but I don't know.
Well, do you do any cardio besides playing? Do you
run? On tour, we try to go to Planet Fitness a lot, and we go to take showers and to work out if we can.
Yeah, that's a little tip for touring bands. Like, you could shower, and you could shave, and you could...
Yeah. Life hack, if you want to take a shower anywhere, just get a Planet Fitness membership.
Which is like $10 a month or something stupid.
Yeah, those are super cool.
Which is like two meals of Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Which you burn off at Planet Fitness.
Also, Planet Fitness, you can sleep in the parking lot there.
Same as Walmart.
Yeah.
Do you ever do that?
Well, we used to do Walmarts, but we realized Planet Fitness, you can go in and take a shower. So that's...
It's a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to Walmart, you're going to end up wasting your money or just buying junk food.
You're going to buy so much shit.
Yeah, if you park outside Planet Fitness, at least, I mean, if you're bored, you can go on a run or something.
Or you can get a protein shake.
Yeah, or take a shower.
Take a shower inside a protein shake.
Use a nice toilet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, if we're going to do the pantheon of toilets, a trucker stop, a Walmart, or a Planet Fitness? Planet Fitness.
Oh, yeah.
Their toilets are pristine.
All day.
All day or a day.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll keep going with a typical day. So photography.
Typical week, yeah. A couple little photo shoots here and there. Some graphic design stuff for...
Do you do it all on your own? Or
yeah, I do everything on my own.
Good for you.
And I do a lot of just... So I do some social media management for a couple artists. Just try to keep busy as much as I can when I'm home.
How could people find you for those services? Do you have a website for that?
Social media, bemiscreative.com.
Spell it. For those who do not know you.
B-E-M-I-S creative.com.
Okay, I think that they could spell that.
Yeah, no. if you're from the LA area, then I'd love to help you out with graphics, social media content, photos for your band, any kind of project. Lately I've been starting to branch out of entertainment and music, and I picked up a shoe client, so I do some photography for a small boutique shoe company, trying to get more
Nike
stuff. I wish. Just a little tiny shoe company based out of Santa Monica. So yeah, just trying to keep busy when I'm home from tour. Got a couple tours coming up next year.
Obviously you don't get specific, but is it the kind of thing where you're like, oh shit, okay, I'm gone from mid-February to like August? Is that that kind of life?
No, but I'm gonna be pretty much on tour for 2 months, between now and next year.
I'll have to catch you guys live.
Yeah. So there's a few things that are coming up that I can't talk about yet, but just trying to stay busy when I'm home, and I work from the road, which is kind of tough.
Do you have to purchase like a special Wi-Fi?
I have Sprint, and they have a surprisingly good
hotspot. I have Sprint too, and it's underrated.
I'm pretty surprised by how good the hotspot is. It's never failed me, and I've been able to. knock on wood. Just whenever I'm.
Well, that's because you do highbrow restaurants like Red Lobster.
I don't know. The hotspot's been really good for me, and just trying to find coffee shops anywhere. I mean, there's Wi-Fi everywhere now, so
it's pretty wild.
We were recently on tour in Australia, and we did a tour in South America, and I worked the entire time I was on those tours.
You put it on airplane mode, and you just do it that way, or
just finding Wi-Fi wherever you can, hotels, restaurants, just gotta.
Well, they want to give it to you so that you could buy stuff there.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, living in L.A. is so expensive that I have to...
It's not cheap.
A lot of things that most people would never expect, I guess.
Wait.
Not in a weird way.
That was about to go some really dark turn.
But in the sense that, like...
Do you have a shiv?
whenever I go on tour, there's other bands that are on the tour package, and they're just, like, scraping by for money, and they have jobs back home, but they're always like, you don't have a job back home? But I tell them, I work...
Probably make more money doing the stuff on the road than you do.
We're going on tour is my fun money. That's my fun income, and it's like vacation for me because I love playing shows.
I
love being with the boys. I love sleeping in the van. I like roughing it out. It's all good times for me.
Roughing out at Red Lobster.
Yeah.
We're gonna wrap this up. You did just give your website, but yes. What about all your socials? Give those to the people listening.
Alexander Bemis on Instagram. This Wild Bemis on Twitter. That's where you can find me. That's where you can...
And say hi to him at a show. Yeah. I mean, Hired Guns need love, too. Take pictures with him.
Yeah, say what's up if you ever come to this wildlife show. But, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. This is a fun first podcast.
I think that it's all downhill from here, kind of like your first work tour with a bus.
This is, going to be my only podcast ever.
No.
I don't know. If you need
a podcast rep, okay. I'll get you out to all the potties.
Cool. I'm going to add that to my resume.
You should. The potty.
Was on Waldman's words.
Damn right. That's going to be the bullet point. Like, I'd put that in between, working at a management company and a label. So, anyway, every single Tuesday night at 5 o'clock our time Pacific, 5 o'clock PV time, and 8 o'clock Long Island time. And on Sunday mornings, 5 a.m., I know that you're going to be listening every Sunday at 5 a.m., and at 8 a.m. on the, on the right coast where I just left. So... Thank you so much, Alex. I'm a happy boy, and have a good day.
Thank you.